Hi, everybody. It's that time of the week, Wednesday. The big thing, and we got a lot to talk about, man. A lot to talk about. What? Such as the Batman Part 2, supposed to come out in 2025. Nope. 2026 it is. Now, some people think that it was pushed back because James Gunn wants to make way for his movie and be the only movie there. I don't think that's the truth. I think more so along the lines of the strikes and all that, for sure. And they had an October date, and they think October is their best push, so they moved it to the following year. But is it the right play? Lindsay Lohan, remember her? Well, she's back, and apparently she's going to be back in a Marvel movie, if you believe the latest rumors. More rumors. X-Men 97, there's a big show coming out pretty soon. I'm going to do an out-of-the-theater reaction tonight for the first two episodes. I'm going to an event, and I'm going to see that. But you know who's not going to be there? The showrunner. He was fired. What? When? A couple days ago, right before the premiere. Why? No word on it. So we'll contemplate or discuss or speculate. I guess it's a better word. Monkey Man and Fall Guy getting rave reviews from South By. Neve Campbell returning to Scream. And Venom 3 gets a title and a release date, it looks like. Or I guess they had a release date. One of those things, Venom 3. Hit that button. Subscribe to the channel. We are just hit about 132. We got a brand new channel called Down to Earth with Christian Harloff. And you can head on over there. It's Daily UAP News. We just hit around 13.5 thousand subscribers, trying to hit 20 by the end of the year. That's our goal there on that channel. So head on over there and be part of it if you are indeed interested in the phenomenon. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found. It's myself. It's Mike Kalinowski. It's Steph Sabraw. Here we go. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Steph Sabraw's here.
Hello.
Mike Kalinowski's there.
What up?
And we're all here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a hell of a week. Hell of a week.
What? You're already starting with me.
A hell of a way to start. Ugh, we haven't even talked about anything.
Guys, I've been exhausted just dealing with you guys, just trying to set this thing up today.
Oh, yeah? Is that how it works?
Uh-huh.
You're running around getting pretzels.
Pretzels?
Pretzels.
Got pretzels.
Pretzels. Okay, so... first of all, what did you do this weekend? Anything fun?
You've never asked me that.
Now, I know.
Anything. Oh, yeah, super fun. This guy fell asleep on the 405, and he sideswiped my entire car,
right.
And now I'm in an insurance war.
Okay, so it was a blast.
Yeah, it was so fun.
An insurance war?
The insurance are just being dickbags.
Mm. That's in new commercials. For the competitors?
Yeah.
We're not dickbags.
Yeah.
That's how it comes across.
Don't you worry. When you come to the Christian Harloff channel, you can expect zero dickbags.
No dickbags.
Yeah. No. Well, that's speaking of which. Right.
Yeah. That's all right. That's all right.
And then there was one.
Okay. Let's get into this. Tons of topics, man.
You didn't ask what I did this weekend.
I don't care. All right. So here we go. Let's get into the... news, and the news is, all right, this is the story. The Batman Part 2 delayed a year. Matt Reeves, the Batman Part 2 has been delayed a full year. Pushed back from October 3rd, 2025 to October 2nd, 2026. The DC insiders say that the delay of Robert Pattinson's lead film is related to last year's strikes. The film, which has yet to begin filming, was announced almost 2 years ago, with Matt Thomason co-writing the film with Reeves. First film had the second best opening of the pandemic with 134 million domestic debut ahead of a global haul of 773 million. It marked the biggest change on the Warner Brothers Pictures release calendar today, which saw several other titles get shifted. The Maggie Gyllenhaal directed The Bride, starring Christian Bale, will take over the old 2025 Batman slot. In addition, Barry Levinson's gangster film, Alto Nights, with Robert De Niro, is being delayed from 5 months to March 2025. Finally, Paul Thomas Anderson's untitled next film, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Sean Penn, has landed August 8th, 2025. All the titles mentioned above are going for IMAX releases as well. All right, Mike, you hear this news?
Yeah, man.
I know you're bummed about it, obviously, but does something stink in Denver?
No, you know, my algorithm, however you want to say it, on Twitter sucks because I just have Snyder bros and Gunn bros going back and forth like,
It's like Republicans and Democrats.
It's awful. It's awful. It really is. I don't know when this happened. I always have to justify. It's like, hey, guys, I was a Snyder bro before you guys even got your call. Back in the days, I was championing BVS, Man of Steel.
You were, yeah.
And I knew, but I also knew you needed a reset. Just didn't work anymore. So I'm excited going forward. But I think, and I'd heard, this is what I'd heard from, you know, the whatever.
Peoples.
Yeah. The strike affected it in the sense, because people are like, well, Gunn was writing Superman during the strike. Why can't... Apparently what happened was, or what I'm hearing is, because everything got pushed, studios are now scrambling for soundstage space, and there's no space for them to film. They have no sound stages. The booking on them, were like, well, this is the next date we have. These will be available. So they're like, well, that's not going to help us make 2025, so we got to push.
So
I think the script is done.
I think you're right, but I think that there's a lot to this. I think the first part of it is, did the strikes affect it? Yes, of course it did.
Of course
it did. Did it have to be delayed a full year? No.
Nope.
No way. But look at the release date. It was October. They're happy with October. They want to go to October because didn't it come out in October? I think the first one came out in October.
No, March.
No. No, really? March. Oh, you're right. You're right. Oh, it was March. Day. It was March. But October brings...
March is a bad date.
It was a pandemic and stuff too, but throwing in a Batman movie in October, it's a good. You're gonna do well in that time.
You're going to the holidays.
You're gonna do very well and then play into November. It's very smart. But the thing is, they could have probably put it in March.
Yeah.
You know, of 2025 again, but maybe they didn't want to do it this time, and they wanted to go full year, and they have other plans for DC properties. So the question is, though, at what point are we going to get the, what's it called? The
Brave and the Bold.
Yes. And
Bold and the Brave.
Is it going to be too close now? Because you're going to do a third film. Steph, what do you hear all this stuff. What do you think?
That just seems really far away. It's like if you announced a movie today, I would be like, oh, it'll come out in 2026.
Right.
And this one's been announced for years now.
It's 4.5 years.
Yeah, that's...
Since the first one, right?
That's...
Well, the first one was 2022?
Yeah. That's going to be... Four and a half years. That's so long.
I saw in a lot of the comics from my comic book and IGN, they're like, why did they even announce this movie? I think they're probably planning on doing it. I just think a normal fan who like don't really understand this process are like, what?
Yeah.
I also think someone had said this, and they think because it also will help if they want to do an Oscar push.
October,
because Greg Frazier should have been nominated for that movie, but being that it came out in March,
it hurts when you put it out that early. I mean, I do think that there's some movies that, I mean, Everything Everywhere All at Once came out early, but it's rare. I'm with you on that. That's when they would put it. It's just cinematography and
score.
Yeah, but I do think that also it's not a summer movie. That movie is not built like a summer movie. It's built like a David Fincher movie.
Yeah.
And that's traditionally October, November is when you would put a Fincher movie out. It's built like that.
Oh, yeah. Going to what you said with Brave and the Bold coming out, like Muschietti is still attached to direct it from what we know.
Yeah.
I thought this is a bad move because you want to get it out sooner so it doesn't conflict with that. Now you're pushing it a year. Superman's already going to be released. They're going to start working on those next films, and that seems like going to be the next one after Superman. Then you're going to be competing at the same time with those two.
I know.
I'm like, I think you would have gotten that one out first.
Yeah, I just think that it's, you know, Matt Reeves was attached to the DC Universe before Gunn, and Gunn made it very clear that it's not going anywhere and it'll be an Elseworlds project. But I think that the strategy of it is, like, if it's so far detached from the DCU and the things that we're doing, fine, put it out in 2026. It'll still do well. Because people will still be excited for it when it comes out.
Yeah.
And when it finally does come out. And look, the Penguin will probably have two seasons on television by the time that it comes out. So you could probably build up a little bit more if you wanted to.
I mean, the rumor is that Pattinson is in the Batman.
You mean the Penguin?
He's in the Penguin. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's definitely in the Batman. He's definitely in the Batman.
All right, smart ass. They saw him on set.
Right.
So they didn't know if it was as Bruce Wayne or Batman. Yeah. But that'll be in 2024. If they could eke out a second season in 2025 or early 2026, that would be the nice break.
Yeah. You have enough time to do it where you don't have to just abandon that universe totally.
Yeah.
You have to say, look, we got two seasons of the Penguin here. Get on board. And maybe you put Pattinson in season two is a little bit more than he was in one.
Perhaps when they were writing, they're like, you know what? This helps fill the world to connect one and two.
Yeah.
Enriches the story. So we can, and now we've got this. And they're like, well, all right, we got some filler. Not filler, but like we've got something to fill this big four-year gap.
Well, so the other thing is, so Roka was on Twitter. He goes on Twitter sometimes. And
Rogan does?
Yes.
I don't follow him, I don't think.
That's crazy.
You do too. So, Steph, as someone who is pretty decent on Twitter, you know, when Roka actually put a tweet, it wasn't bad. He just said that he thinks that James Gunn is more so the reason why, because he was like, I want Superman to own 2024 or 2025, rather. So I don't want, he thinks that it was pushed to 2026. My pushback to that is they're going to have other projects in 2026. So what's the difference? Just because you want Superman to own it, it's like, Superman's going to be out of the theaters by October anyway. So right. I don't play with that.
Yeah. A whole year to own it is, with today's audience, that doesn't really happen.
Right.
Like, we spend like 3 months max on something.
Right. So it could be out of the theater. So do you buy any merit to that or no?
Not really. Sorry.
Poor Roka.
Yeah. And you've got, it's going to be the middle of the summer. Within a week or two, you've got the next big, and Fantastic Four will be out potentially. So right. It's like, if Batman was in October, you do a 1-2 punch. You got the world's fine. And again, they're not the same universe. I get it. But I
wouldn't, if you're James Gunn, for me, it's like, this is my first year, really, because I've been building up to it. And my two big releases are going to be Superman and Batman. Warner Brothers is going to have a pretty big year with me in the run. I'll talk to Roka about this on Monday. But I think more so, they definitely could have put this movie out in March, but they probably, like you were saying before, like, we did March, and I think we got a better result if we moved it somewhere else, and we really liked that October date. And then someone's like, well, what about summer? Not a summer movie. No way. There's too much competition in the summer right now. There's nothing going on in October in the same year. Just, it sucks, but push it a year. I could definitely see that conversation happening. Mm-hmm.
Thinking, you're laying all the facts and everything of what we do know, it makes sense that the fact that they just didn't have the soundstage space. They're just, every movie was backed up because of the strike. So now every movie's scrambling to get going.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we didn't secure anything because we didn't know.
Right. And you could
now
push
it.
And like, look at Bad Boys, I think, would just start filming this
year. Oh, they did.
Year,
yeah.
And they're putting out the movie this year. So it's like, you can push fast. You can.
Right.
But it's a matter of strategy on releases and when you want to put stuff out. So we ask you guys, what do you think? Do you think, obviously, I think most people, if you're a fan of the first one, you're going to be bummed that you got to wait a full year. And I think we're all bummed here. I get the strategy behind it of pushing it a full year, unless you're going to move it to March. March or October, I think, are the only reasonable ways to go in 2026, but if you're going to move it at all. But I'm very curious to hear what you guys say, so make sure you put your comments in there. And don't forget, but the other thing before we move on to that is, I touched on it briefly, is competition, right? Like, because competition, depending on where you land, like, let's look real quick.
What do you got?
All right, so if you were going to move to March 2026... You got a Pixar film, you got a Blumhouse film, and you got a Disney. You got two Disney films in March. So, and plus the fact you probably just don't want to play with March, so you leave it alone. May, you got the Avengers, and you got Star Wars. No, thank you.
No way.
Yeah. June, you got a Pixar movie, and again, nothing else particular. You don't want to play in June. No, thanks. July, there's a Universal, there's a Disney, there's a Marvel movie, there's all this. No, too crowded. August, Disney film, and then you got October. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the only thing. So that, to me, that makes a lot of sense why you put it there. All right. So moving on, let's get to some things. I don't want and no more negative stuff. Let's stop doing controversial stuff. Let's talk about this X-Men story.
Yeah. It was like,
look at that segue.
Where are we going?
X-Men 97 showrunner Bo DeMeo has been fired ahead of March 20th premiere. This is from Comic Book Movie. A bit of a shocker, as Marvel Studios reportedly has fired X-Men 97 showrunner Bo DeMeo just days away from the animated revival's Disney Plus premiere. Mark Cassidy writes, X-Men 97, Marvel Studios' long-awaited revival of the classic 90s X-Men animated series, is just days away from debuting on Disney Plus, and we have a major bombshell to share as the premiere date approaches. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the show's creator, writer, executive producer, Bo DeMeo, has been fired. DeMeo, who previously worked on live-action Disney Plus series Moon Knight, as well as early drafts of Blade, is said to have parted ways suddenly with Marvel last week. No reason for this falling out was given, but DeMeo's company email and Instagram have been deactivated, and cast and crew have reportedly been informed that he is no longer on the project. Marvel has no comment DeMeo's representatives did not return calls, and emails to the showrunner yielded no response. DeMeo had actively promoted the show on social media ever since it was first announced and had interviews set up for this week. He was also planning to attend the red carpet premiere in Hollywood. Studios and creatives butting heads and decided to go their separate ways is nothing new, but something like this happening so close to a project's premiere is highly unusual. We'll be sure to keep you updated. Now, this is the rumor. DeMeo's fire was due to him having an OnlyFans account and sharing naked photos of himself online. It's not been confirmed as the reason, however. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, well, we'll talk about it. And let's see. Okay. So here is this crazy report. Yeah, go ahead.
I can debunk something right away.
Go ahead.
Talking to people that I do know, I don't know this. He had an OnlyFans way before, and it was public before all of this.
You can't fire someone for an OnlyFans account if it's not, unless he has a picture of like Wolverine and Cyclops dancing on his balls.
Right.
You
know,
you want to talk about the fastball special.
Right. But if
X-Men fans will get that one.
If he's like doing stuff with the brand, then it's like, what are you doing?
No, right. I think they knew about it. It was out there.
Yeah. That doesn't seem, I mean, who knows, but it doesn't seem right. But clearly though, there's something more than just like
something stinks in Denver.
Yeah. There's more than like hey, we don't think that it's working out. Creative differences. That doesn't happen the 4 days before the premiere.
No.
Nope.
This is so sketchy.
What's going on, Steph?
I have no idea, but that's a hell of a 2024 title. Like someone fired for OnlyFans.
Yeah.
What dimension are we living in?
There's no chance that that's
I know.
There's no chance.
It is funny, though.
Something happened.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard of something like this happening in recent memory at all, where someone gets fired right before the premiere. It's like something crazy happened
where it's like no company email.
Instagram.
No Instagram. His company's not responding. Disney's not responding. This is also a story that you're not going to keep quiet. It's going to come out eventually.
This is a fallout of Jonathan Majors. Like, we're not waiting to see what happens. You're done. Goodbye. Right. Do not let the door hit you in the fucking ass in the way.
And because of it, something that was where you know, well, yeah, this is nothing that anybody can argue.
You can't fight this.
Yeah, it's worse than the Jonathan Majors case because there was actually a case and they were waiting for their announcement for months.
Could have gone either way.
This is like, there is no case. We don't know what's happening. They're like, bye.
It's like, yeah, you're done.
I think they said 2 days before, we're going to pay you out and you're not going to say a word of this. We're not going to say a word of this and it's done.
Can I come to the premiere? No.
No. You're getting repaid for the third season we're going to do.
What happened? Something happened.
Right, it's juicy.
And I'll say this because my first exposure to him was at Comic-Con 2 years ago when they premiered, and he just seemed like such the, like, oh, this is the guy for it, X-Men. He gets it.
Yeah.
His energy. Like, anytime I've seen him talk X-Men or talk to the fans, he's had this great, it gave off great. There was nothing you watched like, oh, something's going on here.
Yeah, well,
like,
I mean,
weird.
He's been combative on Twitter. But that doesn't get you fired.
No.
Well, it could. Just depends on what you did. I didn't. But there were no tweets that resurfaced that were like, well, maybe it's because of this. This is like a mystery to everybody. Like, what was it?
And people, because if it was a specific tweet, like
you would feel,
what Carano did,
or Roseanne,
always will pop up, and it's like, look what he said. You know, and there was an X-Men character, I think it was Sunspot, that he didn't feel was the right ethnicity, and the fans would fight him on that. Like, stuff like that, but not like...
Yeah, but I even saw that come up as a rumor. It's like, but that's not going to get
you.
And that happened a while ago. Why is it now?
No.
Something happened right beforehand where it's like somebody, maybe, and who knows whether it was an allegation, whether it was whatever it was. Someone goes, this is not good. This person shouldn't be working here anymore. And here's the evidence why. And they went, whoa.
I mean, he was the face of this thing. Like, anytime it was talking, he was out there with X-Men shirts, and something happened.
Did he write season two?
I think they wrote season three, too. I think they had ideas for season three.
I think one and two, but they didn't do three. With three coming up or whatever. But, like, I'm going to see it tonight.
That's exciting.
One and two, yeah.
You're going to see it in the theater, huh?
I'm going to see it in the theater, and it's
exciting.
I, You know what's funny is that I didn't watch the original series that much. I mean, like, I know that I've probably seen episodes of it, but I'm like, people like swear by it.
Yeah,
that's great.
Love it and like say how it's just so about as true. And I loved the X-Men comics growing up, but they said it's about as true
to
the comics. So I am very curious to see how it's gonna play. But this is such a bizarre story. I mean, the first thing I did when I read this is I wrote to Snyder, and I'm like, what's going on? He didn't write back, but I'm like, what's going on?
He's not into that community. Out here,
the comic book community?
No.
Which one?
The gay community. Oh, they're okay. The ones that will have what's going on.
You think so?
100%. I reach out to my friends that are in the entertainment industry on that
so
side.
So you've
of
got
it.
A better idea. You just can't talk about it.
I'm not going to talk about it. But I have a. I have got a my idea. Phone was blowing up yesterday.
Okay,
like,
so you've got a better idea of what's going on. Okay, makes sense.
It's a close knit community.
Yeah.
It very much is. And it's crazy that he's a man of color and gay at that and that position. If this is like,
if it was,
I think that's why they're like, it's not coming out. We're not letting it come out.
This
We're
is
just
a story.
Sweeping it under the rug.
This is,
but it's not going to go away.
It ain't sweeping under the rug. It's out there. People are like, there's no world. There's with today the way that, especially with reporters digging around, there's no world where this stays silent.
Oh, it's coming out.
Of course. It has to.
Yeah.
It has to. I mean, this is just going to be because people, I'm curious. I'm curious, like, what happened? And people are going to be asking, what happened? What happened? What
it
happened?
It just sucks that this is now a cloud over this entire thing.
Yeah. But it's, again, in our circle.
No, you know, I know.
People who are actually
it just excited, feels like there's a taint to it.
I understand
it
what you're saying. All right. So, you guys, what do you think? What went down? What happened? I got to know. What do you think? I got to know. Let me know. All right. So before we move on, I also want to tell you guys about our good friends over at both AG1 and Nutrafol. Here you go. All right, guys. Let's talk about AG1. You guys know I love AG1. If you've been listening to my show, you've heard me talk about them, and I've been drinking them for about 2 years now, and I love it. Never been a vitamins guy. I've told you that. I take it all one shot, AG1. I put it in a water bottle. I shake it up. I'm good to go. I recommend AG1 to my friends. I recommend AG1 to my family, everybody. AG1 is a team of doctors and scientists. It is tested for 950 contaminants and NSF certified for sport. It is formulated based on the latest science and maintains high quality standards. You guys know they've been with us for a while because you guys know too. You've all been checking them out, and everybody who's been signing up to AG1 says the same thing. It's changed your energy. It's changed how you approach things in the day. You're smiling more. You're running around the place, and you're sleeping better. I know. AG1 is the supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and you get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/big thing. Drinkag1.com/big thing. Check it out. Let me tell you guys about Nutrafol. I'm going to tell you guys about Nutrafol. I'm very excited to tell you about Nutrafol. I've told you about Nutrafol many times over, and I've gotten people, and Nutrafol even said, like, we're back because the audience is listening and they're checking it out. And it's working. Because if you didn't know, did you know that 80% of men are going to experience hair thinning in their lifetime? Because it's normal. It doesn't have to be your fate. You can get ahead of it with Nutrafol. What is it? Well, it's a clinically tested hair growth supplement for men. A lot of times you blame genetics, but there are multiple things at play when it comes to hair thinning. So what is Nutrafol? It is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. You can take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. And for a limited time, Nutrafol is going to offer our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping. When you go to Nutrafol.com/men, you got to enter that promo code big thing. You can find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men. Nutrafol.com/men. You got to enter that code big thing. Nutrafol.com/men, promo code big thing. Very excited to have them on board. All right. Thank you to our friends over at AG1 and Nutrafol. I'm so excited to have them on board. And as I tell you guys, I first of all want to thank you once again because I keep getting these DMs. I keep getting people who say, hey, listen, I used your code. I heard what you said. I've been using it. I've got one over the weekend that said this guy and his wife signed up for AG1. She loves AG1 now. She uses it all the time. So same thing for Nutrafol. The link's in the description. So make sure, and I always pin it as a first comment. So if you want to help the show out and you want to help yourself out, get yourself something good, try our sponsors. All right, next one here. Now can we finally go away from controversy, please?
I would love to. No controversy.
All right, no more controversy. Let's talk about Neve Campbell and Scream. All right, Neve Campbell officially returning as Sidney Prescott. Kevin Williamson will direct. Mark Cassidy, again, a comic book movie. Neve Campbell has announced that she will reprise her role as Sidney Prescott for Scream 7. But not everyone is on board with her decision to return to the franchise. After dropping out of the last movie over a pay dispute, Neve Campbell has announced that she will return as the iconic horror franchise's OG final girl, Sidney Prescott, for the still very much in development Scream 7. Sidney Prescott is coming back, Campbell posted on Instagram, because they dumped a full 6 trucks of money into my backyard. No, she didn't say that. It's such a blast and an honor to get to play Sidney in the Scream movies. My appreciation for these films and for what they have meant to me has never waned. I'm very happy and proud to say that I've been asked in the most respectful way to bring Sidney back to the screen, and I couldn't be more thrilled. Campbell's return comes on the heels of the news that Melissa Barrera was fired from the movies for sharing anti-Semitic comments on social media, with Spyglass Entertainment releasing a statement explaining why they decided to drop her from the film shortly after citing rhetoric that flagrantly crosses the line into hate speech. We later learned that her co-star, Jenna Ortega, had also parted ways with the sequel, but actually left the project sometime before Barrera's firing. We still don't know exactly why. But the usual scheduling conflict reason was given to the trades. More recently, Christopher Landon announced that he had decided to step away from the movie, but a replacement has been found in Scream creator and writer Kevin Williamson. It's been nearly 30 years since my very first script, Scream, was directed by the legendary Wes Craven. I never would have predicted what it would become, or that I would be directing the 7th installment of the franchise. I am overcome with gratitude and excitement, and I can't wait to take this journey with Neve and the entire Scream family as we bring back Sidney Prescott in the next chapter of the Scream franchise. Thank you to all the Scream fans. You are the gift that keeps giving. Guy Busick, who wrote the 5th and 6th Scream with Jared Vanderbilt, is taking over screenwriting duties. While some Scream fans are delighted to have Campbell back, others feel that she should have supported Barrera by refusing to work with Spyglass, and there has been a significant amount of backlash to the actress's decision to reprise her role after everything that's gone down. Let's start here. This is one of those things that when you can't win with this situation, because Spyglass handled this terribly. Yeah. Terribly. And they, first of all, were supposed to have Neve Campbell, and they didn't pay her enough, so she left, and she didn't have great things to say about them.
And the two girls, Melissa Barrera and Jen, they were already part of it because they were in the last one?
They were in the last two.
Okay.
They were in the last two.
And they wanted to bring Sidney.
Jenna Ortega, her star was rising, and from what Mark reports and what other people reported, she left before any of the controversy went down.
Oh.
That's what a lot of the reports had said anyway. Now, Melissa Barrera was supposed to come back. The director was supposed to come back. The director of the last two was caught in a terrible position where he was just eventually, after the way that was handled, he's like, I'm good. I'm done. The stress in this thing, I'm out.
Yeah.
So if you're Spyglass and you're going, okay, so here's our deal. We either got to reboot this whole damn thing or we got to find a way to get Neve Campbell back. Like, that's your only two options. And they went with the latter. And they went to get her. Now, what I did see a lot of people doing exactly what Mark Cassidy said. There are a lot of people going that Neve Campbell should have supported the choice in Melissa Barrera and not joined on. B, this is the wrong choice, yada, yada, all that stuff. And there was a lot of points that I think that were made that were good points. The same conversation that we have all of the time, though, there is when this movie comes out in a year, 2 years from now, whenever it is, fans of the Scream franchise, and I'm not saying this because I've seen some people who are like, I was a fan and I'm not going to see this. They will support the movie if Neve Campbell's coming back. And it's not going to hit. This is a decision for them business-wise, because the franchise would have been toast. Rebooting it with new people, you've got a shot to make money on this thing and clean up your mess that you just made. And, you know, whether you feel that Neve Campbell should have, shouldn't have, it's your own prerogative. But this was a decision that they needed to make, and bringing Kevin Williamson back for the Scream, like Die Hards, this movie will make money. This movie, you know, now by the time it comes out, will people forgive and forget? I don't know. But Steph, how are you feeling about all this?
Yeah, I feel like the whole situation is a big yikes.
It's a mess.
I'm so happy I'm not a Scream fan, not because I've watched them, but because I just haven't. So yeah. I'm sure they're great, but I just haven't. So I feel like I'm like, okay, easy for me.
Right, you're not going to see it anyway.
It's too messy. I'm not going to see it anyways. I feel like a lot of us feel in the way that I will never be mad about someone for providing for themselves. Like, if it's not hurting someone physically, you know, I get the morality of it. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously feel very strongly about it. But I think that I don't know. I feel like that's like separate.
We also don't know her stance on it.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you agree with her stance or not,
totally.
You don't know her stance. So it's like you can't, it's the same, way that, you know, you look at where there are certain things that you go back to certain things that have happened where people have gone, well, you should say this on Twitter. You should say that. You should do this. And that person goes, I don't want to do that. And then everyone else goes after them. It's like that happens all of the time. Now, we don't know. Now, I could be wrong in speaking out of place here. She might have actually, before she was rehired, Neve Campbell, maybe she did speak up and was in support of her beforehand and then went against it to just take the money on it. And then you go, oh, that's kind of rough. I don't know, but I agree with you.
Life is so expensive.
Yeah, like, I know. It's like,
I know that like we're talking about an actor who's made a lot of money in her career, but I just think it's like this is her job.
But where did she make the majority of her money?
Scream.
Right.
So it's like, where can she get? This is her biggest paycheck for the foreseeable future.
She's got a family,
right?
And they, I wasn't joking. They probably knocked her door down with money because they're like, This is our shot. This is our one shot. We can reboot it, and we could try to get lucky. But we know that we can get the fans back in there if we get Neve. And there's gonna be people who refuse to see it because of the Melissa Barrera situation. There's no doubt, but not enough to make it a bomb. So, Mike, what do you feel about all this?
I'm torn, man.
Yeah.
I really am. I don't know enough of the situation in Palestine to I don't comment on it.
Yeah.
Because I don't. I hear sides from my friends that are Palestinian, and I have sides from my friends that are Jewish.
Yeah.
And both make the argument, and the history is there, and I don't know enough to even claim a side of it.
Right.
I just don't want people to die. That's the bottom line.
Right.
So what she said, I'm like, would that have really hurt the franchise that much to just keep her in? Like, she's a person with an opinion. Like, I don't know if it was worth it. Like, I have some friends that are in the horror community that are, like, in that circle. And there is, like, the DC or Marvel or whatever, there is a big thing Screamer? That are... What?
Oh,
the horror community. Like, it's like the DC fandom and all that. And there are massive amounts that are upset about this, that she's coming back.
Yeah.
They hate it, that she's coming back, didn't support them because they fired her.
Yeah.
Well, so there also, is a, and that's your fan base,
right?
If you're splitting your fan base.
It's true. I mean, look, there is a side of it, and it's also, it's what's the world going to look like in a year or two from now?
Yeah.
When the movie comes out,
yeah,
could be the same, could be very
worse.
Different,
yeah.
Could be worse, could be better. So that could also change things. There could be a lot of time. Yes, Billy.
So you saw the last one.
Yeah.
Did it end? Like, is there a definitive end? So if these characters don't come back, it's fine?
I mean, they kind of set something where, you know, you kind of think that they could come back, but it's like, but it's not enough to where you're like.
So it's not like they've got to go and like, she died off screen and.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, they're just probably not even going to, they're just going to go more so and focus on Sydney.
Okay.
Was always Sydney's story from the beginning.
Yeah.
So now you just make it Sydney's story wherever she is, because Sydney wasn't in the last one. And I actually think that could help. Because you can see kind of what she was doing, how that's going to play. But the thing is that you can't do for whatever you spend on Neve Campbell.
Yeah.
Then you got to really scale down this budget now. Because
right.
Because if what you just said, which could be very accurate.
Yeah.
That if, let's say, a lot of the fan base decides they don't want to come back because of this.
Yeah.
Well, then you got to start in that meeting room. You've got to say, all right, well, how much do we need to make in order to make a profit, and how much should we spend on the movie? Our majority of our budget went to Neve Campbell and Kevin Williamson. Now we make this movie like it's 1996, and you scale it down and you make it, you put it a Blumhouse type of budget on it, and you make it like
Why can't they? There's no big effects in these things, right?
You have to if you're making smart decisions here to where this could be an issue that you're gonna, like you just said, if there is that Scream fan base or the horror that's going, we ain't supporting this movie. Well, you also know that there will be that portion that goes, we will.
Yeah.
And that portion that says we will, that's how you get them in. You got to find them a way to get them in the theater. And you got to also say, when you're doing your math, that's how much money I need to make. So it's the whole situation.
That's dicey.
The whole thing is dicey. Anyway, so what do you guys think about all this? This is a lot. There's a lot going on here. So put your comments in there. And I'm sure we'll have a really fun discussion in the comments about it. Okay. Let's talk about some stuff that's going down at South By. And both Monkey Man and Fall Guy getting big reviews, man. Big reviews. Dev Patel's feature directorial debut, Monkey Man, premiered at South By Southwest in Austin to a rave response in the audience, along with excellent reviews. 22 reviews thus far on Rotten Tomatoes. The film is at 91% with a 7.9 out of 10 average score. Speaking at the premiere, Patel says, the action genre has been abused by the system. You know, a quick buck, mindless shit. I want to give it a soul, real trauma, real pain. You guys deserve that. I want to infuse it with a little bit of culture. Patel also stars in the film as Kid, an anonymous young man who ekes out a meager living in an underground fight club. Night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he is beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, Kid discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. One of the reviews are really positive for it. I saw some great action reviews from it. Someone asked him about like John Wick. And said, did you get inspiration from? He said, look, I love those movies, but there's a lot more inspiration that I got from other movies besides just John Wick. And then Fall Guy. Fall Guy was the other one. Fall Guy right now stands at 93%. 93% so far out of 14 reviews. Another one that I saw. I saw even our buddy Josh Horowitz said that he's like, call me crazy. But I think he's like, how did Ryan Gosling put in an even better performance? He's better in this than he was in Barbie.
My goodness.
Is what he said. And this, it was like, I saw some review from Fall Guy that it was a mixture of Lethal Weapon.
Tropic Thunder, Lethal Weapon, Fletch.
Yeah, maybe that was Josh Horowitz also.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I saw that too.
And so you're speaking my language with that.
Yeah, man.
Out of those movies, I'm going to guess. I'm going to say out of the two of them, Monkey Man for you, Fall Guy for you. Am I right?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to really. I love Dev Patel as an actor, so it'll be great to see him as a director. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Jordan Peele really backed this movie, which I respect him. So I'm excited to see that. But you know, I love a comedy more
this
than
true.
Anything.
This is true. So you, Fall Guy's for you,
probably a little bit. But I will say, I will definitely see both.
Me too. And I'm more hyped for Monkey Man now than I was.
Yeah.
Very much so. I mean, the trailers, I still haven't watched a trailer for it yet because I was like, oh, I'm curious about it. Yeah.
I didn't want to, but I did.
And did you like the trailer?
Yeah, because what I love about this is Dev Patel I knew from Slumdog Millionaire.
Sure.
And that's it. What I love the fact is they weren't making these movies for him. People weren't seeing him as an action like this. So he went and made it himself.
Yeah.
To me, that's the best thing as an actor. Like,
it's Rocky.
So this guy's got my money regardless if the movie stinks. I don't care. I'm going to see it.
Well, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And then Fall Guy.
Oh, come on, man.
Because for you, this is when you're most
highlighted. There's two things in the 80s that I grew up that kind of shifted what I wanted to be. One was Temple of Doom and the Fall Guy TV series because I love Lee Majors from $6 Million Man. So to be an actor that did stunts, those are the two things that got me going.
Sure.
So the fact that I'm here, like I wasn't sure from the original tale. I'm like, I don't know because the original was he was a bounty hunter that worked as a stuntman.
Right.
But I don't think they're doing the bounty hunter stuff in this, but hearing the reaction. So now all I need to see is if they have the theme song in it from the TV show and if Lee Majors makes some kind of appearance. And I don't want to know.
Right.
I want to be surprised.
I'm sure you're going to get an answer to that, and I'm sure they're both going to be yes. But I also loved the chemistry that the two of them had at the Oscars. Oscars. At the Oscars alone, you're like, okay, this is what they're kind of carrying over
so
the
good.
Comedy.
Yeah.
I'm pumped for this movie, man. Like, and it looked like everybody from Josh Horowitz, Perry, people who saw it were really digging it. So both of those movies, that's a good setup to what we got coming up. And because I think Monkey Man comes out sooner. I feel like it's coming out in April.
I can't. Yeah, he's like, oh, Fall Guy's in May.
There was a screening. There was a screening last night of Fall Guy. Is what I thought.
Oh,
so when I looked, and I'm like, wait a minute, and I forgot about South By. So I'm like, I'm in the midst. I'm like, oh, I'm curious if there's going to be any more. So I'm right. I'm like, you idiot. And I stopped. I stopped tweeting.
Did you send any bad emails to any publicists or anything? Going, hey,
no.
Why didn't I get anyone?
No, I did not.
Okay.
So. To you, you're gonna say Fall. If I only give you between the two, you're going Fall Guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling really has swept my heart up.
He was so funny in at that. His performance was great.
So great, and he sang live.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not that he's like some operatic singer, but he's good.
He's got a band.
Disney. Yeah.
Dead Man's Bones.
Yeah. He was great.
So good.
But I'm also what I like to see is a lot of people going. Have you guys seen Nice Guys?
Yes.
Oh yeah, Lysis is fantastic. Well, that's
he's always been funny.
I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
He's always, but he's that other comedy.
And the other
so
one that
good.
He did with Steve Carell, the
Crazy Stupid Love.
That one's great.
He's hilarious in that movie. And Lars and the Real Girl. I saw somebody tweet out, it's like Barbie showed that he could actually do comedy. I'm like, what are you talking about?
See more movies, people.
He's been doing comedy. People who hadn't seen.
He's been doing comedy, but this is like Variety or something. Maybe not Variety, but it was some.
I know you're saying
it was a big trade. This shows that. Ryan Gosling can do comedy. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? He's been doing comedy for freaking 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
I am pumped for both of these movies. I'm also pumped to let you guys know about both Mando. That's right. Hey, Mando. About Mando and Factor. I'll tell you about both of them right now. Here you go. Excited to talk to you guys about Factor, man. You know, it's not always easy to eat better, but it is with Factor. Because they have delicious, ready-to-eat meals. It's every one of them. It's fresh. It's never frozen. It is chef-crafted. It's dietitian-approved. And it's ready to go. This is the best part. 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from each week, whether it's Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, all of it. And there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day. What are you waiting for? 2-minute meals. And there's a lot of great stuff. Pancakes, smoothies. There's no prep. There's no mess meals. It's flexible for your schedule. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. You just sign up and you save. You head to factormeals.com/bigthing50, but you got to use that code, bigthing50. And what happens when you use bigthing50? You get 50% off. That's bigthing50 at factormeals.com/bigthing50, and you get 50% off. Hey, you want to smell like a zero? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. In a clinical study, men who showered with soap and used Mando whole body deodorant in their pits had an odor score of 0 after 12 hours. That means no odor. That's why I love it. I hate when you put on deodorant and you're like, oh, my pits smell great. And then an hour later, you smell like an alley cat. I don't want that. Because the other thing that they did a study on is men who showered with just soap had an armpit odor score of 8 out of 10 after 12 hours. Big odor. So this is why we introduced Mando from the makers of Lumi deodorant. Mando is clinically proven to control odors for 72 hours. It doesn't matter where you stink. It could be your pits, your package, your feet, and beyond. You got to make the switch to Mando whole body deodorant, and you're going to smell like a zero every day. They sent this man, and I was like, all right, let me test it out. Let me see. No stink. New customers will get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code and link. You got to use that code BIGTHING at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Use the code BIGTHING at shopmando.com. Thank you to our friends over at Mando and Factor. Really excited to be working with both of them. Make sure, if you haven't already, go and check it out. Links in the description. If you haven't done that, please try. Find one of our sponsors that you think is right for yourself. It helps us out, and it'll help you out. So go ahead and do that. Venom 3, baby. Venom 3 is coming out, and we got some word. The third Venom, it gets a new title, and it's got a date, and here it is. Sony Pictures has announced that Venom, The Last Dance, as the title for the upcoming third Venom movie at Sony Pictures. In addition, the studio has moved up the film's release, going earlier by 2 weeks. Not coming out November 8th anymore. Now it'll hit in October, the 25th. The movie is likely tied to premium large formats and IMAX availability, with the title scoring a release on those formats. The title has little in the way of competition for IMAX screens until Gladiator opens up on November 22nd. The title isn't a surprise, as Tom Hardy has been using the phrase "The Last Dance" in numerous postings about the film, but has never said it as part of the title. The third Venom began production in late June last year in Spain, but was halted within a few weeks due to the strike. Work resumed in November, and it's wrapping production imminently. Plot specifics are under wraps, boasting a budget of $110 million. The film also stars Juno Temple, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Clark Bacow. Okay, so I'm going to give Sony props, which we don't do often when it comes to these movies.
Uh-huh.
And I know people are sick of it. $110 million on a third movie? Most studios would be spending like $250 on a third movie.
Spending, yeah.
So, okay, that's moving it into October. Probably a good move. Also, as they said, not a lot of competition in the IMAX screenings. Good move. Title, whatevs. Fine.
You need a spit take there.
It's true. So when it comes down to it, I think the moves are good. Now, do I think this movie's going to be the same old? And I love Tom Hardy. Love Juno Temple. Same old. Not going to. Sony will not learn the errors of their ways.
Did you see the second one?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I didn't see it.
Yeah,
it yeah.
It did significantly less. That's what I'm saying. It did less than the first one.
Yeah, it did.
And Andy Serkis directed that one, and I love Andy.
Yeah.
It just wasn't great. And to come back and to do a third after Madame Web shit the bed, you're in trouble, and you got it. These are good moves to try to make it a success.
Yeah.
Are you excited about this at all?
I am not a Venom girly.
Yeah. Did you see the first one?
Yeah, I've seen both.
Very 90s.
It's not like I hate them, but I think part of it's like maybe it's a depiction of the character. I never read the comics. I don't care for Venom as a character that much. So watching a whole movie of it, it's
again,
like.
Again, for a third time.
Yeah, it's like I like parts of the tone, especially when they get into that kind of sick humor, because I think that does fit the character, but then there's other parts where I'm like, I don't really get what we're doing.
Yeah. Mike, you saw the first one.
Saw the first one.
And that was enough for you.
And then I think the second one came out right at the time that we were saying goodbye to the Schmodown. So I was like, I don't need to see this. So I don't need to watch this thing. Okay. Yeah. I was like, it was going to be an IG somewhere. But I was like, I don't need to watch this anymore. So I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm of the mind, like, there is no Venom without Spider-Man. That's when I grew up with Venom. And I know in the comics he's his own thing. And his own Venom lethal protector BS. I get it. Venom and Spider-Man. That's
you
what
just
they
don't
do.
Care.
I don't care.
Yeah, see, you know what's funny about it? The reason why I am curious about it, I like Tom Hardy. I want to see Tom Hardy do more stuff. I love Juno Temple. Love Juno
Tom
Temple.
Hardy.
But I don't know if this is going to work. I hope it does. I know that Sony, for some reason, has really embraced that late 90s feel to try to separate itself, but I think that the magic of trying to do that is gone. And I don't know if they can do it, and they really need it, because if this is their crown jewel, when you put Madame Web, Morbius, Kraven the Hunter, and then Venom is the only one that
My head hurts from this.
Venom's the only one you got a shot. Venom is your only shot, so they need this one to hit.
But didn't the Asian lady shopkeeper pop up and into the Spider-Verse again? I think they had like a cameo. People went nuts, and I was like, wait, who is this?
Yes. Yeah.
So they connected in there.
You know what's hilarious about that is I actually forgot for a second. I was like, who's that? And then Corey was like, it's the Venom from Venom. Because it's like, it's not memorable.
No.
Yeah, it's just not memorable. I mean, when he said from Venom, I was like, I remember like right away.
Right.
But it's, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's, even for the people who really liked it, we talk about Venom all the time, and there's mostly, and this is why I asked you guys as you guys are watching this, if you're a fan of it, it's one of these things, unless I'm wrong, that you're like, I'll go and see it, but it's not like, I can't wait until it comes out. I haven't heard any of that from anybody in the comments. I've heard people going like, I'm a little more excited about it than you are. Mm-hmm. I've heard that, but I haven't heard people going like, I can't wait for Venom 3, and I think you need that in order for a third film.
Yeah. I just feel maybe it's a good thing. Maybe they're making these films like, hey, we're making a superhero film on $100 million. If it makes, you know, 200 million, great. We're profit.
Well, not well, you got to remember the marketing of it. But
yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
at least 350, but it could.
Hey, if we're going to make these superhero films that don't have to be these tent poles, summer, everything rests on this.
Right.
I'm like, bring back more of these. It just seems that they're doing it without Spider-Man.
Right. Well, hey. look at Madam Web. They pretty much marketed on Spider-Man. Spider-Man is mentioned without being mentioned like 87 times throughout the movie. How funny was it?
That
two big shots at the Oscars.
Yeah, that monologue. Mulaney.
The Mulaney one was the best.
Oh my God.
The Field of Dreams was the best. That was the best. I was like, I turn to my wife. I go, he's gonna do the whole plot. Man. To feel the dreams, and I cannot wait. There, it was so funny.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm not a Mulaney fan. I'm just not. It's like people find him like absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
I think he's funny. I think he's funny.
I'm a huge fan.
Okay, but I'm not a huge fan of his.
And you thought that was hysterical.
But I was a huge fan of that bit.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of that bit. Okay, and I think he's great in the Spider-Man movie. As
that's all I hear.
Spider Ham.
That's all MVP. I hear when he talks.
Yeah, he's
fantastic. That's all I hear now when he talks.
He's amazing as Spider Ham. All right, last
My
story.
My hands are wet.
Oh, so good. But I will tell you that's Nicolas Cage though in that movie when he's just like we don't choose the ballroom, we just dance.
There's
such a good line.
The characters are so you could go from either one. In the second one, like Spider India.
I
love him.
We're gonna do this real quick before you do this next story.
Okay.
I gotta ask you guys this.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Now that they're both out there, which do you prefer? First or second? Spider-Verse films.
Oh. First.
Because there's a lot of crap that they didn't win.
First. I like the first
I'm gonna say it is the first, and I was talking to Rachel Cushing about this because everyone after they saw the second one, so many people were like, I've never seen anything like this before. And I'm like, did you see the first?
Right.
Like, they did incredible stuff in the second one, but that first one, I remember watching it for the first time. I'm like, something wrong with my eyes? What's going on here?
Yeah, I like the second movie a lot.
Of course.
But the first movie is, to me, way better, but very similar in how I feel about Dune.
Okay.
And Dune 2, because like Dune 2 elevates Dune 1, and I think Spider-Verse 3 is going to elevate 2 because it's a second half.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and part of me was like, when it didn't win, I was like, the Academy's, they see it like it wasn't a finished film. It was this part. But I think when they're all done, I think this will have to potentially be one of the greatest trilogies of all time.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily. Of course.
If they stick the landing, mm-hmm. I think they will.
There's a lot of pushback on Kimmel's joke about the animation thing.
About the kids and stuff.
He said he's like, oh, this next character. He's like, come on, be honest. Did your kids fill this portion of the ballot out? And that pissed off the Spider-Verse guys. So, I mean, I get it. But look, when you're hosting that, you're going to piss off everybody.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, he pissed off everyone.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
But in a loving, fun way.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's the next and last one. Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan is back in the news. And everybody loves a comeback. Everybody loves a comeback. Lindsay Lohan is apparently, potentially, going to be in Marvel to play a vixen superhero. Could Lindsay Lohan be joining the MCU? According to a recent report, this might be true. The Mean Girls and Freaky Friday actress has expressed interest in participating in a Marvel film. And now, US Magazine says that according to one of their sources, she's in talks to play a vixen superhero. What character isn't clear. Lohan reportedly auditioned for the role of the Scarlet Witch, which ultimately went to Elizabeth Olsen. Lohan told Forbes back in 2022, I've never done an action film. I'd love to do something with Marvel, but so far that really hasn't happened. Lohan was most recently seen in Falling for Christmas, doing a cameo in the Mean Girls reboot and starring in the rom-com Irish Wish. She's also been doing voiceover work like Devil May Care and Love Struck High and recently confirmed that there are plans for a Freaky Friday sequel. I love seeing, it's kind of like, reminds me of like the Downey situation too, someone who had a lot of issues and had problems and, you know, addiction and stuff too, able to get back into the light, get back to the prominence, if you will. And she's doing the right, she's putting in the work, she's doing the right things. I'd love to see this happen. I don't know what it is, but how do you feel?
Yeah, there was a point where I was like, she is such a great actor.
Yeah.
And then you kind of forgot about that because it was clouded by everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she looks way better and healthier now. She made Steph Curry the godparent of one of her kids.
Cool.
I was like, how interesting. Like, what is her life now? But I wouldn't be mad if she wasn't a Marvel character, but I would be happy to see her do anything kind of. And
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of like positive responses from this potential news. How do you, I don't think it taints it at all. Do you?
No.
No. She was the original Mean Girls, right?
She was in it. Yes.
She used to.
And like
was
the
such
Georgia
a great actress.
Movie.
Yeah. And I did see though when she started coming, trying to come back, and there were some acting things as like wasn't good. You just saw.
Ring Rust.
Okay. Yeah.
I think so.
So yeah. I think if she's been working on her craft and stuff and with acting coaches and stuff and yeah, I mean she I think physically looks great again, gotten through the kind of the rough stuff that you know she went through and why not? Hey,
I think it's a great choice. Why not? I think to see her come back to whatever capacity it's going to be in, love to see it. So with you guys, put your comments in there. Let us know. Thanks for joining us here today on the show. I'd like to thank both Mike and Steph for being here. Steph, where can they find you?
At Steph Sabron, the World Girls.
Michael Kalinowski.
At Mike Kalinowski and not the World Girls.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
BS. All right. For here, hit that button. Subscribe to the channel. Remember, we have the new channel, Down to Earth, Christian Harloff, Daily News. We also put our Tuesday show now on that podcast feed. You can still find our Tuesday show here on YouTube. But podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that is in the description. Thank you to our sponsors. Again, if you want to help us out, please consider that. And we'll see you back tomorrow with me and Roxy. All right, everybody. Peace out.